Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold postgame show, presented by Screamin' Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas. Now, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Not quite big voice guy, Rami Makhlouf, along with the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson and Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. They're back at the Hinterland in Green Bay. I'm back in the studios. If you're not familiar with me, maybe you're outside the Milwaukee area. I'm Gary's co-host every day on the Wendy's Big Show on the flagship station 105.7 FM. The Fan. Packers fall to the Cardinals somehow. 20-17 the final in Green Bay, and the numbers for you to get in and get it all off your chest are 855-830-8648. You can also tweet at Bill_Michaels. And Gary, you know what we're going to hear a lot of today, right?
Wait, did you say they fall to the Packers?
No, I said the Cardinals topped the Packers, didn't I? Did I say they fall to the Packers?
If I did,
I was mistaken. Well, not quite over. No, there's a minute 9 left. Aaron Rodgers has the football, so you'll never know what happens. Packers are driving. They're at the 39-yard line. Okay. If they lose this game, you know what we are going to hear a lot of this afternoon on the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold postgame show, right?
I'm sitting right here with Eric Baranchek, and he goes, what happens after this, Gary?
And Gary, up until now, and we shouldn't jump to any conclusions. Again, there's still now 45 seconds left on the clock. There's a completion to Devontae Adams, not to give accounts and information about the game against the express written rules of the National Football League. But we are going to hear a lot of fire McCarthy this afternoon if this game ends with this score. And up until now, I've said, I don't think you should do that. I don't know what you get out of doing that, but I don't know how you excuse a loss to a team as bad as the Arizona Cardinals. No matter how things went and how bad this season got, I never saw anything like this happening. Did you?
Well, what does it tell you is how bad the Green Bay Packers are. I think that's – I know people want to fire people. I don't know if it's indicative of Mike McCarthy. I think Mike is probably gone at the end of the year anyway.
Right.
But this just tells you how bad this team really is. Defensively, they have no talent defensively. Right now. I think Alexander can be something. I think Kevin King can be something if he can ever stay healthy. Martinez looked like he could be something, but he needs someone to go with him. But they got no pass rush. They can't get after anybody. Dean Lowry, I like him, but they just don't have anybody that's special. And offensively, you still got Rodgers, you still got Devontae Adams, but still defensively, they just don't have very much there. And Rodgers, for some strange reason, I don't know if he's hurt or what's going on, but he is still throwing a lot of errant passes normally completes. And it's just mind-boggling to me, Eric.
Looking at this thing, defensively, to talk to you a little bit about that, is that you're right. There is nobody special. There's nobody to game plan around. And on the offensive side of the ball, I think, they're in dire need of a tight end. And really, they got to go out and pick up a couple of guards to shore up that pass rush, because it's obvious and plain as day that pocket is coming in on the front foot of Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't like it. So that's why the ball comes up out of there in the back foot. And he still got his feet look okay, but, he's looking at the rush and not feeling it.
Right.
Yeah, Rodgers runs for a first down. Packers now at the 40-yard line in a new set of downs, about 5 yards out of field goal range, according to Fox and their fancy graphics. Even if they get into field goal range and take this thing into overtime, Eric, I could argue that despite everything you guys just said, it shouldn't even be this hard. Even if they win this game or take it to overtime somehow, that it shouldn't be this hard against a team like the Arizona Cardinals. Are you guys saying that the Packers have fallen so far that this is par for the course at this point, that this is what people should expect from the Packers against a team the caliber of the Cardinals?
Well, I don't think anybody really expected this team to come out here and put up 40 points on the board. I don't think that was the case. But certainly, 17 or if they get a field goal here, that certainly is not something what anyone expected. I mean, for them not to be able to score 20, 25, or, you know, in the upper 20s against this team is laughable.
Well, the problem that you have, too, is 12 is not magical. So that's the problem that you have in offensively. And so that's why you're looking at these scores, and they can't score as well as they used to. If 12 is that magical 12, I think that's that, you know, that kind of tilts the scale in towards the Green Bay Packers. But he is just not right. And, you know, someone tweeted out today, I think it was Jay Sorge, I don't mind giving him some, I think he tweeted out, he goes, well, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, something's wrong with his knee because he's not playing well. Well, if something's wrong with his knee, then he should be wearing a knee brace to help him have accurate throws. If you're not wearing a knee brace to help you have accurate throws, then you're hurting your team. I mean, you have, if you're not right, then you have to have something to help you be right or be closer to being right. So he's just not what he was. And Rami, I think you are aware of that as well.
Yeah, and we've been talking about that for weeks on the big show, Gary, and it's just that he's and I've been saying this. You've disagreed with me on some level about this. I don't think his style of play or his fundamentals have changed all that much. The scrambling, the trying to extend the play and look for the deeper shot downfield has always been Aaron Rodgers' style. It's worked up until this season because he'd make plays when he did that with throws that he could make in his sleep that most guys couldn't make, period. And this year, that's just not happening. Mason Crosby is lining up for the field goal now. 3 seconds left on the clock to try and send this thing into
and
overtime.
So, once again, here we go. Why are we running all deep routes?
And
here?
Gary, it goes wide right, and the Packers fall to the Cardinals 20-17. It's a final out at Green Bay. We got to get into a break while you guys line up on the phones at 855-830-8648. Rami Makhlouf back in the studios in for Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette. They're at the Hinterland in Green Bay. You can also tweet at Bill_Michaels, and we'll be back right after this statewide on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Somebody got on board first. So here's today's first score of the game. Sponsored by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics. Offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
It is the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold post-game show. I'm Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels. Back in the studio, Gary Ellerson and Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette at the Hinterland in Green Bay, where the Packers fall to the Cardinals today 20-17. Get in on the show at 855-830-8648 or tweet the show at Bill_Michaels. It is time for the first score of the game. It happened about 3.5 minutes into the second quarter. Aaron Rodgers to Devontae Adams on Fox.
No hesitation on the part of going on fourth down and we'll call it 3 or 4, 3.5, 4 yards. Pointing, throwing, end zone, catch, feed in, yes or no. Touchdown Packers, Devontae Adams.
And when that happened, I looked at it and I went, man, it took you over a quarter to score on the Cardinals, but that looked like Aaron Rodgers again, Gary. And I thought, okay, here we go, smooth sailing from here. Rodgers just flipped the switch, which I've been saying all season long, but maybe I and people around the state of Wisconsin need to reserve themselves to the fact that the Packers maybe just aren't as good as we thought they were when this season started, and there is no switch to flip, maybe not even for the great Aaron Rodgers, at least not in the 2018 season. And if you weren't sure of that before, now you may be sure of it after losing to a team the level of the Cardinals.
Well, there's only one switch to flip, and that's 12.
Right.
That's it. That's all they got.
Right.
I mean, everybody likes Aaron Jones, and I like him too, but he's not Kamara, okay? We need to stop that. He's mm-hmm. okay. I take Eddie Lacy over him. So, folks just need to stop with that. It's just that, and that's all, and that may be fair or unfair, but the only switch they have is 12, and that's all they got, and they got nobody else to help them. Now, that you can fault Ted Thompson for that because he's the talent evaluator, scouts, those are guys that are bringing people in to help him. I mean, also you saw today some of these receivers dropping balls that they should have caught too. That didn't happen.
Or falling down on your face when you've got nothing but green in front of you.
I mean,
you know, you said it earlier when we were just chatting here. Gary, is that McCarthy looks tired. And, you know, I was watching, and even in the first half, they're running these boot passes that were going absolutely nowhere, and they kept going back to it. And they had a safety or a linebacker in 12's face constantly. I mean, do something a little bit off the table and maybe do something that's going to make people, you know, have to think a little bit. They put no pressure on the safeties and zero pressure on the linebackers.
Once again, today. Third and two, Eric, you're going deep for a touchdown. That still blows my mind right now today. Third and two, where are the underneath routes on third and two? I mean, that's all we need. Why are we going to the end zone on third and two?
It makes no sense, especially with the timeout in your pocket. Throwing in the middle, kick the field goal, and, you know, play another quarter.
Let's go out to the phones. Again, 855-830-8648. Roger in Cudahy is first in line. Roger, what do you got?
Good afternoon. And I say this with with a lot of sorrow, but the realization is that they're more in the running for the number one draft choice than anything else. I never thought that this team had as much potential as that wild card team that went on into the playoffs. And once again, I said it last week, I had hopes that they would come away with a victory with the Vikings. When they didn't, let's not let this loss go wasted. They need to sit the starters. Forget about the mathematical BS. Sit the starters. Embrace reality. Let's go after that number one draft choice, or as close as we can get to it. It has nothing to do with tanking, fellas. It has the realizing that draft choice and draft position matters. It's just as real as dealing with the salary cap.
Right,
That's not happening.
Man, thanks. They're not sitting starters. You can forget that. Aaron Rodgers is not sitting. Bakhtiari's not. They're not sitting starters. The only bad thing that could come out of this is, Eric, what we talked about a little bit earlier, if they decide to let Mike McCarthy go after this game. That would be it. They're not sitting starters.
You know, and I think you and I both agree that it's a classy organization.
Yeah,
they're
not
going to want to
They're not doing that. Yeah.
But how? You know, what do you benefit from having Rodgers and McCarthy, who clearly have a problem, sit together in the same room for another 4 weeks?
So, Eric, you think that we may have reached the point where and people have been saying it for weeks. The Packers are too classy an organization to cut ties with a head coach midseason. Do you think that there is a breaking point for the Packers where they may pull that trigger and this Cardinals loss may be it? Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't know. I have no information, just other than the fact that what do you gain from keeping those two guys together?
Gary, what do you gain from keeping those two guys together? Because you've been saying all along you don't do that. You can't do that to Mike McCarthy, a Super Bowl-winning coach.
Well, you don't, and I still stand by that.
Right.
But crazier things have happened in the NFL. We all know that those two guys, it feels like, don't see eye to eye. So this is probably one of the worst losses. I don't know if one of the worst losses in Packer history, but probably one of the worst losses in Mike McCarthy's tenure, I would say.
I would agree.
Being here with them. I don't know. I'm just kind of torn on it. I think, you know, if they come to Mike and ask Mike, are you okay, are you done? And Mike says, yeah, I'm done. And I think that's how that ends. I don't think they go in and tell Mike he's fired. I think they ask Mike, what do you want to do? You don't get any better with Joe Philbin. I mean, what are you doing there?
I mean,
Joe Philbin, who's the other guy? Mike Pettine. I don't know what that does for you.
I don't know, maybe just a different voice. I mean, you look at – here's the one thing in the fourth quarter that got me kind of questioning things is there's 15 seconds on the play clock, and they're subbing guys out of the huddle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad football.
Got some tweets here at Bill underscore Michaels. Richard says there's plenty of blame for this Packers season from Coach M to Aaron, but is it abundantly evident that our personnel is subpar, especially on offense? That's why we suck this year. Yeah. At Bill underscore Michaels. And yeah, I think at this point that is abundantly evident, Gary.
We didn't want to think that, but it is. I mean, we keep watching this week in and week out, and you watch other teams, you look around the league, and they have superior talent than what we have. I mean, it's very evident in what you see right now. I mean, if we go back and look at all the draft picks over the last 5 years that Ted is not hit on, and some of these guys not even here, you just can't do that in the NFL when you're trying to what they call it? What's their mantra? Draft and
develop. Draft and develop. Yeah.
They're not doing that. There's nobody developing. They're drafting, but nobody's developing.
Brian tweets, can we start? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
On the back end there, too. Yep. That didn't help anything.
Yep.
Brian tweets, can we start firing people now? We don't have control over that, Brian. That's up to Mark Murphy and the board up there at Lambeau. Let's go back to the phones. And Tony in Ashland, you're on the Green and Gold Post Game Show. What's up, Tony?
Hey, fellas. I've been sitting here for weeks, been watching this. Over the past few years, we've watched the Packers draft, really far back in the draft. And then you throw in Ted Thompson's, I don't know if it's his health or he lost his touch or whatever. But, he's always had to basically have a good to great draft the last 3 to 4 years. And this is what we're seeing now because of drafting late in the round and making poor draft decisions. And now the one thing I had told a friend of mine, and that was like last year, so I go, all it takes is for Rodgers just have that one bad year where everything gets exposed. And that's what's happening this year. And then you throw on top of the whole, I think Mike McCarthy, he's being used as a scapegoat, really, because it's a whole lot of issues, and it ain't just him. So we're stuck with Aaron Rodgers. The only thing right now is we need really good draftable players, out of that first 6 picks of every round.
Thanks for the call, Tony. Eric, Gary, I never thought we'd come to a point in this season where a Packers fan would call 855-830-8648 and say we're stuck with Aaron Rodgers. Somebody just said that to us. That just happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when people overreact when you are not winning, and people overreact when Aaron Rodgers is making the money that he's making. People overreact when they know that he's – numbers don't show it, Eric, but he's probably having the worst season he's had as a Green Bay Packer.
Well, we all sit and look at the stats and the quarterback ranking and all that stuff.
Yeah, numbers don't show it.
No, they don't. It's winning and losses. And when you expecting Aaron Rodgers to come back and make that throw and for a touchdown at the end of the game and it's not happening, you got to – everybody starts looking. But some of that could be a lot of different things, whether it's his – he's gripping a little bit because he knows he's not playing as well and making stupid chances and not doing the fundamental stuff that needs to be doing to be a good quarterback.
And when you talk about numbers, Aaron Rodgers' numbers not really at all impressive this afternoon, 31 of 50, 233 yards, a touchdown. And Aaron Jones only runs the ball 11 times. And I've defended the run-pass ratio at times in this season, Gary, because I've said that the Packers have found themselves in situations where they have to throw the football a lot. That was not at all the case today. And again, we never know if it's Aaron Rodgers or Mike McCarthy. People have their suspicions that it's Aaron Rodgers taking the pass option at the line of scrimmage more times than not. But can you explain 50 attempts for Aaron Rodgers to 11 carries for Aaron Jones?
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was that much to me. I mean, I didn't see 50 attempts, but obviously they were there. And it felt like they had a good mesh in the first half in run pass. It felt like they were trying to establish the run. And then somewhere or another got – listen, I don't know why we keep doing this every year. It feels like when Eddie Lacy was here, we used to have this conversation. Why we run Eddie Lacy more? Why Eddie Lacy's not getting the ball? Why do we run Eddie Lacy more? When Aaron Rodgers went out that year and he was hurt, we rolled Eddie Lacy to the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers comes back. And then they throw the football 100 times with Aaron Rodgers. That's how it's going to be. Aaron Jones is a side note in his offense. any running back that comes in his offense is a side note to 12. That's just the way it is. We keep beating ourselves over the head with this every year, and every year that we have 12, that is not going to happen.
Well,
just not.
And you couple in a couple, you know, at the second half, they didn't have their starting right guard or starting right tackle playing either. That doesn't help things either. So, and you saw the production start to go away a little bit in the second half because of that. So, or even in the second
quarter.
Well,
even more so to run the football, though. Why expose Rodgers to get hit? Or let's run some quick game and passing game.
I got no answer to that because that's the thing we've been calling for the entire year was this 1-2-3, get that ball out with 2.5 or less, and it's not happening.
Right.
Some more tweets that have come in at @Bill_Michaels. Greg just simply says, done, with about 10 exclamation points. Dave Butler says, a fitting finish to this season and McCarthy's tenure. Time to clean house, starting with McCarthy. Let the offensive and defensive coordinators finish out the season. Enough is enough. Hashtag fire McCarthy today. Do it, Murphy. @Bill_Michaels. We are going to be hearing a lot of that today. And again, I don't know that I can necessarily argue against it at this point. I don't think that the staunchest people who have argued against it to this point can really make a strong case. Although, like Gary said, how much better are you going to be with Joe Philbin? I don't know what you're necessarily doing for the organization with that. Let's go out to Philly and get in our guy Todd. Todd, you're on the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. What's up? Todd?
Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Hey, man, very disappointing but fitting end to this season. Just listening to you guys talk about this team and, you know, the lack of talent that's on it and the lack of help for Rodgers, which I believe he's much to blame for this season as anybody as well. You know, just the lack of draft picks that we've missed on, you know, over the couple of years. And, you know, we're going to have to be big, big players in free agency next year, you know. And hopefully Gutekunst could get us another, you know, B+ AA type of draft. And but we're basically going to have to take a formula like the Rams did or, you know, these other teams that went out in free agency and, you know, jumped up to the top of the league. But, you know, it's just disgusting, man. It just was a disgusting game to watch. And, you know, even before it was over, man, you know, some of the penalties and, you know, you just seen a good team. A team that's not good, just not so good, man. So, fitting in, man, I'm pretty sure we'll be talking about a lot the next couple of months, man, but it's disgusting, man.
Appreciate the call, Ty. And Gary, Eric, I mean, up until the last few weeks, I think there's been a camp who doesn't want to hear the Aaron Rodgers critique, but I don't know that even the staunchest Aaron Rodgers defenders at this point can necessarily argue with anything that Ty just said there about Aaron Rodgers shouldering a good deal of the blame. I don't think any one person is to blame, but I don't know that anybody can look at this and say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't shoulder some of the blame. Do you think that the Aaron Rodgers defenders are still going to be out there and saying this has nothing to do with him? I can't see how somebody could make that argument.
Wait, do you have your buddy Jeff Orlowski's phone number?
Yeah, well, I do, yes.
Well, why don't you call him and ask him?
I'll do it during the break.
Do it during the break. Get him on.
I'll do it during the break.
I'm not going to say a word. Just get him on, and if you hear from him, then that will be the mass of Aaron Rodgers lovers that will tell you what they think.
That's former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. He's at the Hinterland in Green Bay along with Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Packers fall to the Cardinals today. If you didn't watch the game and you just tuned in to hear what happened, I said that right. Packers fall to the Cardinals today, 20-17. 855-830-8648 is how you get in on the show or tweet at @Bill_Michaels. We'll be back right after this. It's the Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Pizza Green and Gold postgame show on the statewide Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Where did this one turn?
Rodgers with the pass to Adams.
It's time for the Aurora Healthcare Orthopedics Turning Point of the Game.
This is the Turning Point of the Game, presented by Aurora Sports Health. Advanced care to get you back to doing the things you love. Find a sports health provider and make an appointment at aurora.org.
It is the Palermo's Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show with Gary Ellerson and Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press Gazette back at the Hinterland in Green Bay, where the Packers fall to the Cardinals today 20-17. You can get in on the show at 855-830-8648. I'm Rami Makhlouf, Gary's co-host on the flagship station of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, 105.7 FM The Fan on the Wendy's Big Show. It is time for the turning point of the game, and it was in the third quarter. Score tied at 10 at that point, and the Packers with a chance to come up with a big stop on third down. Had Josh Rosen dead to rights behind the line of scrimmage, but he squirms out and makes a big play out of it.
And it's up to the defense right now. And Rosen gets out of the rush, gets a first down. And Josh Rosen staggers and fumbles out of bounds around the 31 of the Packers.
And it was more than a first down. It was about 30 yards, and the Cardinals would punch it in for a touchdown later on that drive on a Chase Edmonds 8-yard run. That made it 17-10. Cardinals never trailed again. Packers were able to tie it up, but Zane Gonzalez, a 44-yard field goal with a minute 41 left in the game, and the Packers drove themselves, but Mason Crosby, a kickoff attempt that goes wide right. Packers fall 20-17. You can get in, like I said, 855-830-8648. Tweet at Bill_Michaels. Let's go back out to those phones and go out to the north side. And Trell, you're on the Green Gold postgame show. What's up, Trell?
What's going on, yo?
You.
Best thing that could have happened to the Packers. Best thing. This is what they need to do. As far as Aaron Rodgers, he's not Superman. He's not had a good year this year. But at the same time, the failure is on the organization because they should have never put their eggs in all in one basket on a player playing superhuman for them to be successful. That's the job of the GM and the scouts and all that, to continue to build talent around the team. And as far as McCarthy, he hasn't been the same coach since the 2014 championship game. He's been on the platter for a while. They've been holding him because he's got the Super Bowl win, and I understand that. I understand that logic behind that. But the truth of the matter, when a coach who was an offensive guru gives up his play calling, he's already a beaten man right there. He already has shown that he has no confidence at him getting the job done. And only when the team sputtered so bad towards the end of the season that he finally took the play calling back, he hasn't been the same coach since then. I mean, we've seen it when Roger goes out every year. Well, not every year, but when he goes out with these long injuries, he can't catapult the team from a coaching standpoint to another level. 12 has been hiding all these deficiencies as far as the talent perspective and as far as the coaching perspective. And I thought McCarthy should have been gone at the end of last year when they got rid of Ted. Started over new. What they need to do is the same thing they did when they drafted DJ Rodgers and Clay Matthews, and they got that. They got that right now. They're probably going to end up getting the top 10 pick. That's the Rodgers pick. And then you don't have to trade to get back in the first round because you already got a first-round pick from New Orleans. And you continue to draft early in each round, build your team up, you know, hope the GM knows his talent. I think he does. And you get some good players in here, and you make key free agent signings that fit the needs of your team where you fall short in the draft. And that's what this team needs to do. Forget all this win the rest of the games and all that crap. They're not that good. I don't want to see a team get there. And what we're going to do, get blew out to New Orleans in the Dome like we did to Atlanta a few years ago? No way. I do not want to see that. Build it the right way up. Make it so you can sustain success when you get to that level of success. And maybe we can get another Super Bowl or two before Rodgers' career is over with.
Thanks for the call, Trell. Appreciate it. And if there is a weird way to take a silver lining out of this, it's that you were looking at the Packers' schedule here down the stretch and going, well, they have a chance to win just enough games to not make the playoffs, but just end up with a middle-of-the-road draft pick. Gary, now you look at the schedule, and after a loss to the Cardinals, they could feasibly and easily lose to just about anybody. And like Trell just said, you could be looking at a top-5, top-10 draft pick if they are as bad as they looked out there on the field today, and we have no reason to believe that they're not.
Right. Once you start looking at their schedule, Atlanta can come in here and beat them.
Yeah.
Without about it. And if they continue to play like they are, and I hate saying this, and if 12 continues to play like he's playing, but there's Listen, if Atlanta's another thing, Eric. If Atlanta is right, they'll blow Green Bay out because Green Bay do not have an answer for any of those receivers. Zip, zero, none.
Why are the running backs either?
Right.
You know, how are they going to stop them?
They got no answer.
And then, you know, you're going to let Matt Ryan step back there and just pick you apart?
Playing,
right. And you're playing 2 and 3 deep zone?
Right.
That's not going to be a fun game.
Right.
Eric, did this game change your outlook on the Packers in terms of how good a team you thought they were? Or was this something that you thought could happen, that they were on near or on the same level as a team like the Arizona Cardinals? Because I got to admit, today my opinion of the Green Bay Packers changed just a little bit. Up until now, I thought they've been underachieving. Now I just think they might be this team.
Well, I thought they were going to come out and blow them out. I really thought it was going to be, you know, high 30s, low 40s scoring game, and it just never materialized. So, yeah, for me, it really opened my eyes about how – and, I there's not a lot of talent on either side of the ball. Let's not be mistaken. But I think the game plan on offense just fell apart. And, you know, they came out and they didn't score on that first drive on offense. I think that was very telling about how that game was going to go.
Gary, is this eye-opening for you? Did it change how bad you thought this team is? Or did this just confirm some of the things you've been saying and seeing?
Yeah, it just confirmed some of the things I've been seeing. They're not very good. They're not talented. They're Aaron Rodgers dependent. And when he's not right, then this is what you'll see. They can lose against anybody.
Tyler tweets at @Bill_Michaels. He says, Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a single good pass on that last chance drive. Throwing into the turf or out of bounds, does Rodgers have a case of the yips?
Well, I don't know if he's got yips or if that shoulder with 35 or 40 plates in or whatever he's got going on.
It was 13 screws.
Yeah, if that's not right. We don't know. I mean, we don't know. But something, I mean – didn't he overthrow Devontae Adams in
yes.
the back of the end zone?
Yeah
that wasn't even catchable.
What was that?
I don't know.
He just doesn't miss like that.
This isn't a he good thing.
Done.
This isn't a good thing for a radio host to say. But
folks,
when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, I'm just kind of speechless.
Folks don't understand how good Aaron Rodgers is, and for him to be making those kind of throws, Aaron throws, something's not right. I mean, guys are so blessed and talented, in which he is, they can just do this in their sleep.
Well, but he's got two all-world fundamental trophies in his office. Did he say something like that?
He did.
Yeah,
just ask him about it.
If you watch the game and you are really careful about looking at the footwork, it's not there.
No, footwork is not there at all.
And when I'm looking at this,
even when he has a chance to have good footwork, it's not there.
It's not there because you asked if he's got a case of the yips. I've been trying to allude that maybe he has a problem with looking at the rush too much and not just feeling it. And sometimes you got to stand tall in there and deliver the ball, and then you're going to get hit. That's part of playing the quarterback in the NFL.
Eric, forgive me. I don't remember if it was you or one of your cohorts over there at PackersNews.com, but a couple of weeks ago there was an article about Aaron Rodgers and all the injuries that he suffered and feeling the effects of them now, but not necessarily in a physical sense, but feeling the effects of him in the sense that he doesn't want to get hit. He doesn't want to lose another half season or a full season to a broken collarbone or a broken knee. So he's a little bit more careful about taking hits, a little bit more aware of where defenders are instead of watching where his receivers are on the field and going through his checkdowns.
Correct, and I think that's why he tries to sneak out of the pocket on times when there's plenty of pocket there. And that's been the case all season long, is that you wonder why is he sneaking out of the pocket. Just stay in there
and
throw the ball.
Rami, and that's evident to going back to what you said, that that's always been Aaron Rodgers, but it hadn't always been Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers used to stay in the pocket and take the hit. He's not doing that. That's the difference. Now, you're right, in some degrees he always kind of runs around, do that, but most times than not, he stays in there and take that hit in the chin. He's not taking any hits this year. None. Zip, zero, none.
Guys, we got to take a break. Packers fall to the Cardinals today, 20-17, the final. It's the Palermo's Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. You can get in at 414-799-1250. You can tweet the show at @Bill_Michaels and get your reaction in. I know you got something to get off your chest. Get it off your
something.
Chest to the former Packer and Badger running back and Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette. I'm Rami Makhlouf. We'll be back right after this on the statewide Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You're listening. listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Sometimes you gotta stick, and sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Sponsored by Boilermakers107.com. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years.
It is time for the turning point of the game on the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Green and Gold post-game show. I'm Rami Makhlouf along with Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, and Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Not the turning point of the game. It's time for the hit of the game. Pardon me, before we get back to your calls at 855-830-8648. And it was in the first quarter, and Josh Jones getting his hands on Josh Rosen of the Arizona Cardinals.
Sack! Rosen goes down. And it's Josh Jones from the secondary.
Highlight courtesy of Fox, and that was your hit of the game brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Let's get back out to your calls at 855-830-8648 with Gary and Eric Baranchek back at the Hinterland in Green Bay. Yeah, what's up, Gary?
Real quick, did the Bears win or lose?
The Bears lost 20-17 in the final there.
Okay, we missed that. All right.
I don't know, Anthony, if you could work on this for me, please. Are the Packers mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, or are there still outcomes today that could change that?
I think there's an outcome in that Vikings.
I don't think your microphone is on.
The Vikings game. The Vikings game. how that plays out will have a factor, because they are, technically speaking, only two wins ahead of you on the ledger. They own the tiebreaker, but with three games left, it is possible, technically, mathematically.
All right.
But they would have to lose out, and the Packers would have to win out.
So you're waiting for the outcome of the Vikings game to find out if there is mathematical hope for the Packers.
Yeah, I think what this game essentially did is it removed control from the Packers' hands. Gary, even if they win out, they are not guaranteed anything.
Gary, Eric, does mathematical hope do anything for you if that's a possibility at the end of the day?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
All right.
Listen, and I hate saying this, but I'm looking for that draft pick worse than the next fan is right now.
Not you, Gary. Not you.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I am. Because, listen, you got Aaron Rodgers for, another 4 years?
Yep.
Is that what it is, roughly?
Yep.
And we need to try
five more years after this one. He had 2 years left on the deal before the season, and he signed a four-year extension on top
of
that.
So you got him for five more years. Counting next year, you have him five more years.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So you need to rebuild around him right now and try to get back to a Super Bowl within 2 years.
Right. They're 2 years away.
Yeah, that's my guesstimation is 2 years. Now, if they are very aggressive this offseason in free agency, because one got to suspect that maybe they don't bring Nick Perry back, they buy him out, or he says, I'm done and just pay me my money. That, you know, and then no Clay Matthews, no
Cobb,
that's $20 million right there.
Graham.
Yeah, I mean, so it's starting. It will start next year with some of those veteran players. Maybe you'll have a chance. They need right now a defensive impact player, in the worst way, and they don't have one.
Let's go out to the phones and out to the north side. And I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
Sure, no doubt about it. Tight end as well. But I still think if you have the right Aaron Rodgers and an impactful defensive player, I think that will be the way to go, because they got nothing defensively.
See, I don't think that they got nothing defensively. Eric, I don't know if you agree with me or not. I think they have good players, serviceable players on the defensive side of the ball.
No.
I know. I'm getting there. But they have guys to fill roles around one or two playmakers. I don't think they need to add a lot of players to the defensive side of the football. I think they just need to add one or two of the right kind of player to the defensive side of the football.
They need a difference maker, not a kind.
Right.
They got a lot of kind.
Right.
They need a Nick Collins. They need someone like that that's going to come in and make big plays. You know, they don't have a Khalil Mack. I mean, arguably with their best defensive player is a defensive tackle that doesn't get any sacks. I mean, if your best player is a defensive tackle, that's a five-sack guy, eight sacks a season. That's not an impact player.
Because he's not Aaron Donald.
Right, exactly.
That's why.
He's a run stopper.
Right.
And that's your best guy, and you got a bunch of young guys that got to step up. You got Kevin King that's got to learn how to take care of his body and be a professional and drink enough water so he doesn't pull every muscle in his body. And you got to have now these young guys got to step up. But even if they step up, they're not going to be that, like you say, Gary, that impact player. There's none of that guy that you have to game plan around. That's what they need.
Let's quick get in Anthony on the north side. Got about 2 minutes before the break. Anthony, go ahead, man.
Hey, I'll try to be real quick. Long-time Packer fan, you know, for almost 50 years. Long-time listener of the Big Show and the Post Game Show. Before I launch into my complaints, I just want to say, Gary and Rami, you guys do some of the best talk sport talk radio in the country. I've worked in radio. I've listened to it all over. Always compelling. We really appreciate having you guys in this market and being able to talk so much Packer football. And with that in mind, I want to say that I think a lot of
people... Hey, hold on 1 second. Hold on. Hey, sir.
Anthony, hang on 1 sec.
Yes, sir.
Rami, can you you got that tape? Can you have that?
Yeah, we'll get that tape. We'll send it right over to the boss. Yes.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, buddy. Thank you.
We appreciate you guys very much.
Thank you.
Rami, hold on. That's at what time is it?
That is 3:56. We got a break. Let him get it started, Gary,
please.
I want to not defend Aaron Rodgers because I've been doing that all season, but I do want to say this about talent, guys. And I want to hit on your point on the defense. Let's not forget that all the rules of the game that they've been able to change to benefit offenses have been changed to benefit offenses. It's not as easy to find great defenders on any level. Find linebacker or in secondary because they're not allowing guys to make as many plays as you can.
He's breaking up, and Anthony, we really appreciate the call and the kind words.
Come back, Rami.
Anthony,
come back.
Actually, he dropped completely. His phone completely dropped out. Yeah. So if you want to give us a call back, 855-830-8648. That's the number for anybody to get in after the Packers fall to the Cardinals 20-17. It's the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. Rami Makhlouf, along with the former Packer running back Gary Ellerson, Eric Baranchuk, back right after this.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. This is the Palermo's Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. Presented by Screamin' Sicilian, premium frozen products and craft pizzas. Now, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Gary Ellerson is here, well, technically at the Hinterland in Green Bay, where the Packers fell to the Cardinals 20-17 this afternoon at Lambeau Field alongside Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. I'm Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels. Back in the studios, you can get in at 855-830-8648 as the Packers fall to the Cardinals today. Like I said, 20-17 the final. Got a tweet here at Bill_Michaels, and it says, I expect the GM to do the post-game presser because Big Mac is cleaning out his desk, hashtag Dunn Club. I can confirm that was not the case. Mike McCarthy, indeed, did hold his own press conference, and we'll hear it right here on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network coming up at about 4:35. Right now, let's go out to the phones and out to Philly, where we find L. L, you're on the Green and Gold post-game show. What you got?
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
I'm surprised after seeing that game. I'm not doing well. I just want to piggyback off the couple callers that called about just basically just like a gift and a curse to the Saints. It's a gift by us losing the way we did. It's just time for Mike McCarthy just to go. It's over. Like, at this point, nobody's playing, like, inspired football to try to keep his job. We're just an undisciplined, just unexecutable team. Like, we don't do anything good at this point. So at this point, it's just time to just cut ties. I mean, I hear people saying about our organization being classy and not getting rid of him during the season, but it's all about change. Like, something you can't bring that product to the field. You can't say you prepared a whole week for a team that only has 2 wins and you lose like that at home. That's inexcusable. So by that being said, he needs to go. And on top of that, I had another question. So if they were to get rid of Mike McCarthy, does the training staff, do they still stay too? Because these injuries that we always have, it's just adding up, you know, basically, like, do they stay too, or do they leave along with the coaches? Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call. That is usually, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, isn't that usually up to a new head coach when he comes in, if he wants to keep the training and conditioning staff as part of his staff?
Yeah, that's completely up to the head coach and what they want to do. And a lot of times they keep those guys around sometimes for the first year and then make a move. But, yeah, that's entirely up to the coach.
And, Eric, I mean, we hear that a lot, and one of our co-hosts on the show, Gary and I do on the flagship back here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, the Wendy's Big Show, our buddy Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, he's been on the network with Bill often. He often is screaming about the strength and conditioning and the training staff and all the injuries that the Packers have. Two questions for you, Eric. You'd probably know better than Gary and I would. Are the Packers really that more injury prone than other teams around the NFL? And even if they are, how much of that is the training or conditioning staff, and how much of that is just luck, in your opinion?
Well, that's a great question. I think everybody feels like their team is the most injured team in football. And I don't think they are more snake bite than anyone else. It just, you know, it's our team that you're watching. That's the way it feels. And is it on strength and conditioning? I think on some level it could be. But more importantly, I think with the younger guys, it's more about maturity and taking care of your body and making sure. I mean, when you pulling muscles, some of that is taking care of your body. And that's personal responsibility to make sure you're hydrated, you're stretching, you're rested. You know, all that kind of good stuff. You know, you can't always, pin an ACL on your training staff. And a lot of it is, you know, the soft tissue stuff is the things that are more of a personal responsibility to the players than anything.
Gary, when you played, was that something that was on you guys, all that stuff that Eric is talking about, to be in the type of shape that it takes to play in the NFL and stay healthy week to week? Or was that something that was stressed or maybe even coached by the training and conditioning staff?
Well, it's on an individual player. Now, so when you're in college, they have a guy that's all over that.
Right.
But when you become a pro, you have to hire a guy that's kind of, if you really want to do it right, you hire a nutritionist, you hire someone, and you have somebody inside and they're all over that. But they're also now these days, so, Rami, they have guys on staff that can help these guys with their nutrition if they so choose or if they're having problems with it. Now, to me, I agree with Eric. Sprains and strains are on the players. ACLs, blown out shoulders, that's to me is just football. So, I mean, and we saw this, quite honestly, with Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy probably had two good years here in Green Bay, and those were his first couple of years. And after that, he decided not to take care of his body. And then after that, he kept getting injured, wasn't available, got too heavy, and then he ended up not really fulfilling the potential that he had to fulfill. But, yeah, that all that stuff is on the player to take care of his body.
Get in on the show, 855-830.
I had to learn that the hard way myself.
8648. What do you mean you learned that the hard way yourself?
Well, because you're used to doing stuff at the collegiate level.
Right.
That you think you could do at the pro level, and you can't on your free time.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You just can't do it.
Nightlife.
I mean, the nightlife, yeah. Yes. Nightlife. Women life, you just can't run like that.
You got any specifics?
I mean,
or
rare guys? I mean, you know, if you're, you know, you had guys like Lawrence Taylor in them. I mean, well, those guys are rare, but most of these guys have to, they have to control that.
Let's go down to Kenosha and get in Jim. Jim, you're on the Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold Post Game Show. What's up, buddy?
Hey guys, how we doing today?
Doing well.
All right, you know, I got confused for a minute. I thought Jerry was just doing a Mentality commercial, but that's all right.
I could have went into Mentality on that, but yeah.
I think one of the things Jerry said earlier is that, you know, we don't have that difference maker on defense. And if you look at our last two Super Bowls, we need to get a difference maker, and that's on Gutekunst. Okay? Now, moving on to kind of the state of the team. You know, the thing is when Mark Murphy set up this new structure last year, I was optimistic, but now I'm skeptical because I'm not sure who's making the call. And, you know, the way I saw the guys playing today, that's a coaching thing, and they aren't playing very well at all, and that's troublesome. But then my question becomes, and I know Mike Clemens brought this up earlier this week, at what point does the spotlight turn on to Mark Murphy in regards to him and the decisions that he's making or not making?
Well, I think the spotlight should be on Mark Murphy right now, very bright. And I think that happened last year. Listen, sometimes in the NFL, the way the Green Bay Packers are structured, you kind of have to walk a fine line. The way they were structured under Ron Wolf, when Bob Harlan gave it to Ron, is that Bob stayed out of everything. And what got this organization in trouble is when the general manager, so to speak, or they tried, with the head coach and general manager, that's what they had, tried to do everything. So Bob put the structure in that they needed to stay out of that, and they gave Ted total control. And, oh, then they gave Ron Wolf total control. And so that's the same plan you saw under Mark Murphy, where it just continued the way the Green Bay Packers had done business. Now, I know a lot of people, including my good friend Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, didn't like the way that Mark changed things. But I say Mark had to change it, because the way they were doing business under the Ron Wolf way was no longer the way to do business, because you had Ted and Mike not speaking. Mike would be in a press conference, and Ted would go pick up a player. We'd see it on our phone. We asked Ted about XX player. I mean, we asked Mike about XX player. Mike don't even know that Ted picked up somebody. That's not the way you do business. So they restructured, and Mike wanted to get everybody in the room to make sure everybody was doing what everybody needed to do. Now, I think that needed to be done. Now, moving forward, I think maybe they need to, if they got everything the way they needed for it to be and everybody's communicating, everybody can work together, that plan needs to change again.
Gary, our buddy Anthony, who thinks you and I are the best broadcasters in the country.
Let me ask Eric on that. Yeah. Eric, you agree with that?
I do. I think at some point in time, you got to give the reins back to the GM.
Right.
The GM and the coach are joined at the hip, no matter what anybody says.
Right.
And you got a GM that's got a coach that he doesn't want, that right. isn't going to work either long right. term.
Our buddy Anthony.
And we didn't have GM. We didn't have the GM and the coach joined at hip with Ted and Mike.
Right.
They weren't.
So did Mark Murphy make his own seat a little bit hotter then with the restructuring and giving himself a more prominent role in football decisions?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it was a wise move to kind of get through this season and make the decision of whether or not, you know, they just hired the new GM and whether or not it's going to work with the coach. And, you know, obviously something probably with the coach isn't going to work out and they're probably going to make a move there. But I think that was something that needed to have to take place.
When they look back on this, Rami, Aaron, yeah. when Mark looks back on this, he can say if he has to fire Mike, and if this is the way it plays out, that he did everything in his power to make Mike to be a part of what was going on. So, I mean, because we had heard it was going to be Russ Ball, then maybe Mike had an issue with Russ Ball and that didn't happen, and then they wanted everybody to be in the room together, blah, blah, blah. And it just felt like they wanted to make sure that Mike was comfortable with what was going on. If, in fact, this goes down, Mark can look back and says, hey, it's just
– hey, just didn't work out. We did everything we could have done.
Just before the top of the hour, Anthony called in and told Gary and I we were two of the best broadcasters in the country, and then his phone started cutting out when he actually wanted to talk about the Packers. But he's back now. Anthony, go ahead, man.
Thanks, gentlemen, for letting me finish my point.
No, no problem.
Just touching on talent, it's harder to find defensive talent that is a – you know, game-breaking, difference-making, because the rules are really oriented around the offense. We have two teams that played in a Monday night game that scored 54 and 51 points, respectively, and they're considered two of the best teams in the league, and they're giving up 50 points. At one point in time, we would have laughed at a team that did that and said they're not Super Bowl contenders if they could give up that many points to anybody. But circling that around to coaching is where I wanted to land. If you look at the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year, people raved about their talent, especially on defense. Where's that talent this year? They had a few injuries. They got slow to get going, and they've fallen apart. Talent is pretty relative in the NFL, pretty even, except there are some obviously exceptional skill players in a few places right now that just jump out at you. But the thing I wanted to say about coaching and talent is when the head coach has got a problem, whether his quarterback is injured, whether it's weather, whether your running game isn't working, whether teams are out coaching you, the head coach has to make adjustments week to week and game to game and in game. And McCarthy's simply not doing that anymore. This week has passed him up. Guys like Sean McVay are running the offense McCarthy ran in 2011. The quick strike, two plays called at once, no huddle. Aaron Rodgers had guys running through the middle of the field like crazy, and they were open. McCarthy can't get Jimmy Graham open in the end zone. his system isn't stale, guys. It's putrid. McCarthy's done, and he's been carried by Aaron Rodgers for his entire career, and now the world sees McCarthy has been exposed. He's been an average head coach who got lucky with a quarterback and fell ass backwards into a Super Bowl, and it's time for him to go. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. I agree on some level. I don't agree that he never was a good head coach. I do think that the league has passed him by. Do you guys see a lack of in-game adjustments from Mike McCarthy? Do you think that's one of the problems plaguing the Packers, specifically the offense this season?
I'll be honest with you, Rami. In order for me to really answer that, has a game passed McCarthy by?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know if McCarthy's calling the plays or is it Aaron Rodgers
that's
calling
true.
The plays.
That's fair enough.
That's what I need to
yep.
know. Because I don't know that. And I've said, and I know you guys got very excited about the Sports Illustrated issue, but I have said for the past 5 years that this offense was very disjointed. It felt like there was two different game plans when you're watching this team play offensively. And today we find out that there's a game plan that Aaron Rodgers has and there's a game plan that Mike McCarthy has. And I think that's what we've been seeing the last 5 years. That's why there was – we always felt that there was no real continuity. There was nothing easy. It was just hard. It was just pull. It was give and take. It was nothing. I need to answer that question honestly about Mike McCarthy. I don't think Mike had full control, and that's on Mike now. I'm not saying that's not on Mike, but Mike did not have full control because he let Aaron Rodgers have way too much leeway in what this offense was all about. I mean, you saw the stuff. I mean, there's no way that should be going down that Rodgers is calling the play and McCarthy don't even know what the damn play is.
Yeah, he doesn't even know what the audible was that he called.
That should never,
right.
ever happen to anybody.
We got to get to a break.
That's on Mike.
But first, go ahead, guys, real quick.
I don't think the game's passed him by. I don't. That's the issue. I think sometimes you get to a position where you're questioning yourself so much that it's hard to make a decision. When you see play calls coming in and you see guys subbing out at 15, 14 seconds left on the play clock, that's just more of a – I'm grasping at straws here, guys.
But here's what we've seen. We've seen Mike McCarthy call a play, and the guys are in the huddle, and then Rodgers changed the play, and they have to sub out because Rodgers wants another play. We've seen Rodgers mouth over to the sideline, what are you doing? What is this guy doing in here? We've seen that. So, I mean, you can't absolve anybody from what's going on in this offense.
Oh, for sure. And then, you know, you hear all the stuff, and again, we're hearing it all secondhand. We don't hear it.
Right.
Either
they'll
one
never
of those.
Say anything.
No.
But what's up, Pat?
So what's happening? You know, are they changing the calls? Is that what he's doing? Sounds like if you buy into that SI story, sounds like that's what's happening.
Yeah. Well, if we look at the Green Bay Packers, you can nod your head and go, yeah, that is what's happening. We see it.
Well, and your issue is this, and you know, let's say they do get a new coach. Is this guy so much of a prima donna that he's not going to be able to sit down?
All right, let's get to a break.
Coach?
Let's do that, Gary. Let's get to the break. We'll get back to more of your phone calls at 855-830-8648 after the Packers fall to the Cardinals today, 20-17. It's the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold post-game show. I'm Rami Makhlouf back in studio. Gary Ellerson, Eric Baranchek at Hinterland up in Green Bay. And we're back right after this on the statewide Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Wow. That was a heck of a run. Who put up big yardage in this game? Here's the screaming rush of the game. Brought to you by Palermo Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
It's the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold post-game show. Rami Makhlouf in for Bill Michaels, along with the former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. It is time for the screaming rush of the game, and it happened in the fourth quarter, on the legs of Aaron Jones.
And they wanted to snap it quickly to the end zone. Touchdown, Aaron Jones!
That highlight courtesy of the NFL on Fox. That made it 17-17, but it was a Zane Gonzalez 44-yard field goal with about a minute 40 left on the clock that gave the Cardinals the lead. The Packers had their chance. Aaron Rodgers drove them down to about the 30-yard line, and it was Mason Crosby wide right for a 20-17 Cardinals win over the Packers. Real quick, let's get the injury report in. The injury report brought to you by Luigi's Frozen Pizza. The frozen pizza that tastes fresh, guaranteed, available at most quality grocery stores and taverns throughout Wisconsin. Good news and bad news on the injury front. The good news, well, the left side of the offensive line held up after David Bakhtiari and Lane Taylor came into this game questionable with a knee and quadriceps injury, respectively. However, the right side of the offensive line did not finish the game. Right tackle Brian Bulaga left the game with a knee injury and did not return. And right guard Byron Bell also left with a knee injury and did not return. Get in at 855-830-8648. We'll get more of your calls. You can tweet the show as well at Bill_Michaels after the Packers fall to the Cardinals today, 20-17. We'll hear from head coach Mike McCarthy in his postgame press conference right after this on the Bill Michaels Statewide Sports Talk Network.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. What's the big guy got to say about this one? This segment of the postgame show is brought to you by Pick and Save Stores, where Wisconsin saves on groceries. Now, let's hear from Green Bay head coach Mike McCarthy.
I see Palermo's screaming Sicilian frozen pizza. Green and Gold postgame show here on the statewide Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I'm Rami Makhlouf, back in studio. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, along with Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com at the Hinterland in Green Bay. Try and squeeze in some more of your calls before we get out of here at 5 o'clock, 855-830-8648. But first, a couple guys we got to hear from. First off, we had a tweeter call in earlier and say that the GM should be holding the postgame press conferences because Mike McCarthy was packing his desk. That did not happen. He held his own press conference, and here it is.
Well, stating the obvious, that was clearly a very disappointing loss. It was a game that we needed to win. We're all disappointed. I did not do a good enough job. We didn't do as good enough job as a football team. I think if you look at the start of the game, you know, I'll start with the offense. We just the opportunity to get into rhythm, you know, handling the football was we were not at our best today. That was clearly evident with the number of drops in the passing game. But you know, we made some plays. We were up and down in the run game. Defensively, you know, I thought we did some good things situationally, but they ran the ball very effectively against us and special teams. The reality of that was too many penalties, particularly at key times. So, not good enough, disappointing, and that's where we stand with that. I'll take your questions.
When you're struggling on third down like you have for a while here, what does that tell you overall about your offense going on there?
Well, I mean, I think it's like anything in the game of football. You have things that you work on each and every week. We went through some things, it's kind of twofold. You know, early in the week, we really didn't know where we're going to be at protection-wise, so we had some things in protection-wise for helping. But then there are other, then Brian gets hurt, so that kind of flips. So, you always start with protection. Fitting that with the pass concepts, that always gets a little disjointed because your check downs have to line up. But at the end of the day, it's no excuses. But your processes, your self scout, you apply it to the opponent, and we did not obviously execute very well at all on third down.
Can you think of a time where you've been more frustrated or angry with the way your team performed? I mean, this isn't a game that you don't lose games like this.
Well, we lost today. We clearly did not play our best football. We have benefited from a tremendous home field advantage. We didn't take advantage of that today. You know, December has always been a huge strength in our success, you know, winning games over the past. But we didn't play to that formula. You know, they handled the football better than we did. And that's probably, you know, when you look at your training, you look at your week of preparation, and you look at the things leading into the game, because at the end of this deal, you have so much time during the course of the week. Your team needs to reflect what you emphasize and practice on the practice field. And, you know, we didn't do a very good job on Thursday, but I thought they really bounced back. I'm talking about handling the football, and I thought they handled the ball very well, you know, yesterday's practice, but we didn't have it. I thought they handled the ball extremely well. I mean, they I don't know if they had a drop or, you know, so that's the first thing that jumps out. I think you look at the speed of the game, it was an up-and-down game. I thought they played, you know, quicker than we did, you know, at certain spots, but I thought, you know, momentum, we got that back, and our guys have tremendous fight, but, you know, we were not clean enough.
Mike, did you feel pretty good after you tie the game at 17? I know they take the lead back, but you've got all your timeouts. You've got two. I mean, did you feel, how are you thinking?
Well, definitely very confident. I think one of our strengths, you know, when you break down, you know, you look at our team and you can go through the normal down distance and all the different situations, I think clearly one of the best things we do is two-minute offense and even two-minute defense. We have a lot of time invested there. So, with the time left and one timeout, you know, I was very confident. I felt pretty confident we're going to have a chance to score. So, you know, we weren't as clean as I liked there during that drive. But, anytime you give Mason a chance, you feel good about that.
There's Mike McCarthy after a 2017 loss to the Arizona Cardinals today at Lambeau Field. And, guys, it's Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press-Gazette, Gary Ellerson, who are out at the Hinterland in Green Bay. It's really starting to sound like a broken record for Mike McCarthy in these post-game press conferences. He's just got the stock answers. It wasn't clean enough. I got to do a better job. We weren't good on third down. I like the effort. Injuries took their toll and affected the game plan. I mean, I don't know if he's just out of things to say or what the case is, but it's become a broken record in Mike McCarthy after these losses. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, totally. But, you know, from his standpoint, he can't go out there and start selling out the team. You know, hey, this and that. You know, he's got to play for another job, and, you know, if he wants another job. I don't think he quite has the charisma to be on TV, so I think if he still wants to be working in football, you know, how you treat your players, especially after a loss, I think really makes a big difference in how people think about you. So, you know, he's never called out a player that I can remember, Gary, and certainly.
And we've had so far this year Aaron Rodgers call him out.
Right.
And then Tremont Williams 2 weeks ago called him out, I think, about the Seattle game. But we need to go from that. We got 12. We need to be going for that, blah, blah, blah. And then Tremont comes back the following week and fumbles a punt. And they asked Mike McCarthy about that, and Mike wouldn't even go there. It would have been a perfect opportunity for Mike to go to Tremont. He wouldn't take the bite.
Right.
He just doesn't do it.
No, he's not that type of guy.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, number 12, we need to hear what he had to say after the loss today. Aaron Rodgers brought to you by the Granville Improvement District. Granville, feel the energy and the power. GranvilleBusiness.org. Here is Aaron Rodgers after the 2017 loss to the Cardinals.
Season, I had to peg you guys as a top five offense. What do you think's happened there?
Well, we're just not executing well. And it's the same things over and over. It's red zone percentage and third down percentage.
To tell you anything when it is the same thing over and over and those patterns emerge, does it tell you anything about talent, about scheme, about whatever?
I mean, it says a lot about the execution. So I think that's all wrapped up into that. I think we actually hit a couple of third downs early and then went a nice long stretch there without hitting one. So, yeah, that's kind of been the issue. That's why we're not scoring a bunch of points. We're not getting touchdowns in the red zone. Same story.
I realize all the reasons that you guys haven't done the things you need to do. The things that have gone wrong, but why do you think they've gone wrong?
Well, I just think it's the same things that we unfortunately say every week, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's applicable. We're just not on the same page consistently. We're not executing the right way, and it's the same stuff. It's poor throws, not on the same page with receivers, wrong depth, protection. We all have a part in that, and we've all picked our time to mess up a third down.
What's your feeling, walking out here, you guys? This was to make the playoffs. This was a really important game, one you probably had to have. You're at home. You're playing a 2-9 team. What's the feeling of walking off the field or walking up here, having lost?
Well, it's just frustrating. This was a game that we have won in the past, expected to win, and teams that want any shot of having some postseason success got to win these games. Dome team, 35 degrees, snow, wind is playing right in our hands, and we just came out flat. I feel like the energy was a little bit flat, and we got it going in the second quarter, and I don't know if we felt like they were just going to roll over at that point, up 10-7, but, obviously we played three series in the third quarter and didn't do anything, and then, had a couple of decent drives in the fourth, but, we just didn't play very well.
If your playoff hopes are done, you want to rest the knee? You want to give Kaiser a chance to play out the season?
Hell no. Come on. No, I've come this far. I'm going to finish this thing off.
Aaron, this is it for Mike. If the decision is made after the season to let him go, how much responsibility does the offense bear, do you think, if that does happen, or just for what's happened this year?
Yeah, a lot, probably. We haven't played very well. We've put up some yards at times and taken care of football pretty well, but usually, over the years, the success that we've had, we've taken really good care of the football, but we've paired that with efficiency in the passing game and big plays and explosive gains. And this year we've had the taking care of the football, but we haven't had the consistent explosive gains. So, we all take part in the disappointments and the failures that we've had this season. We've had a number of opportunities. It's not like we're getting blown out in a bunch of games. We're in games even when it's not looking great. It was ugly at times today, but we're in the game. We're tied in the fourth quarter, and we've been that way in New England and in Seattle, and you could list off a couple other ones, opportunities, and we just haven't got it done in any of those. You get just a couple of them, this is a completely different conversation we're having right now.
There's Aaron Rodgers after the 20-17 loss to the Cardinals today. I'm Rami McLaughlin for Bill Michaels, along with the former Packer running back Gary Ellerson and Eric Baranchuk of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Two things about that last answer right there. One, I don't buy the close games theory that we don't only hear that about the Packers. We hear that about a lot of teams. Oh, they're right there on the brink because a lot of these games are close. But if you look around the NFL, Eric, I'm sure you know this, There's the nature of the NFL is close games. There are hardly any teams to get blown out week in and week out. So being in it late into the game doesn't really do a whole lot for me in terms of telling me how close you are or aren't to playing good football. But the other thing was a very honest answer there from Aaron Rodgers when asked how much responsibility he would feel if Mike McCarthy is no longer the head coach or whatever fallout there is from this season because of the failure of the offense. And to paraphrase, to put it in a nutshell, he owned it and said a lot. And you got to respect that on some level.
Sure. I'd like to ask the follow-up question is, do you care? everything that you see, it doesn't looks like they're oil and water right now, and you can't get rid of the $30 million guy, can you?
I mean, no, I don't think you can. I think as one caller so eloquently put it earlier in the show, Eric, you're stuck with Aaron Rodgers, which is not something that I thought you'd ever hear. And I still think that's kind of a ridiculous statement to make. But on some level, when it comes to that contract and him playing at this level, It does kind of make sense when you say you're stuck with Aaron Rodgers in the very small picture. I still think that most people believe that he'll be worth that money when all is said and done, don't you?
Yeah, you think so. It's hard to say. You know, I think so. I think, you know, listen, and I said this before, and I think Gary agrees, they're two years away. The 2020 season is where you got to circle the calendar and say this has got to be it. Because, you know, as much as you – no one's ever going to say it. They're kind of a little bit of a soft rebuild this year, you know, getting rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, you know, before the trade deadline so you can get that draft pick from Washington this year rather than having to wait till 2020. They got two first-round draft picks. They're playing a lot of young guys on D. I think really 2020 has got to be the year that you circle, and this is Super Bowl or bust.
Another thing that stood out to me about that press conference real quick, as we got to get to a break, I don't know if I've ever heard a Packers season get to a point where the reporters are sighing before asking questions. I've heard coaches and players sigh before answering them, but I think it was Rob Dombrowski who, before he asked his question, he literally let out one of these. You're like, he's even at a breaking point. The people covering this team are at a breaking point. That's where we've gotten after the Packers.
Because you know you got to ask a tough question.
Right. Packers fall to the Cardinals 20-17. We have Mike Clemens, our embedded Green Bay football reporter, standing by to join us after a short break. You're listening to the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, in for Bill, Gary Ellerson, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette at the Hinterland in Green Bay, and we'll be back right after this on the statewide Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Somebody stood out today. And that player? They're the Chili's MVP. Chili's is back, baby. Back. Let's see who Bill and Gary have picked as Chili's MVP.
Did to Randall, we had called back on a hold in the last drive. I threw a bad one to Cobbie where maybe he slips inside and gets a few more yards. And that's been it, you know. We've just had way too many of those plays over the course of the season, whether it's on third down or first or second down or in the red zone.
That was Aaron Rodgers. This is the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show, talking about missing a couple throws to Randall Cobb, and there were some of those. We're going to talk with Mike Clemens about that in just a minute, but first let's name our MVP. And in this one, it's hard to find an MVP in a performance like this when you fall 20-17 to one of the worst teams in the NFL, but I guess it would be Davante Adams. 8 receptions, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Longest strike of 19 yards. He was targeted 13 times but only hit on 8 of those, and again, that probably goes back to the missed throws. And let's bring in our embedded Green Bay football reporter, Mike Clemens, into the show. Mike, welcome in. How you doing?
With the season on the line.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers has got it. He just needs to. He's going to try and. Actually, I thought they were going to try and score a touchdown. Halfway through the drive, you realize they're just trying to tie it up and send it into overtime against the Cardinals. And even though Rodgers is completing some of the passes, and to some of his most frequent targets, like Davante Adams, like Jimmy Graham, like MVS, who he's been working with, you know, the rookie since August, the balls are just barely off the dirt. In the key drive of the game, the balls are low and outside and far too low, particularly in those slippery conditions. When he's handing off to Aaron Jones, whether it's the start of the game, the third quarter, he doesn't carry out the fake like Brett Favre did. We spent time with Favre yesterday at that Super Bowl reunion. Favre would hand off to Dorsey Levens, to Amon Green, and then he'd carry out the fake because that sets up the bootleg and the play action the next time that you decide to fake the handoff and go downfield with it. Nick Olson is one of the veteran radio reporters up here. He was in on this conversation with Randall Cobb, who's always been a positive force in this team, and Randall was just asked, what's your feeling? Do you think that Mike McCarthy has lost the leadership of this team?
I'm here to play football. That's not, my feeling doesn't matter. We've lost a lot of close games, but we've lost them, so that's it. This is the NFL. It doesn't matter who you play. You have to play at your best, and no, they outplayed us. That's nothing else to process. Game's over.
The Packers locker room emptied out early today, but one of the guys who probably should get more credit, even playing on a swollen ankle he suffered against the Patriots, is Blake Martinez, this guy, week in, week out, is the leader in tackles. Today, he stood up and talked to reporters and talked about not only losing to the Cardinals, probably losing any chance now at the postseason.
Oh, it's hard. I mean, I hate losing. I hate, I don't know. I've said it before. I'm not a loser. I want to win. I want to win every game. I'm going to put the energy in, and it's one of those moments where the clock hits zero, and once again, we came up short, and it gets down to that point where we keep talking about it, and it's just in one of our meetings this week. It's just having the understanding of when you have your foot on their throat and you have a chance to kind of X the team out and not allow them to breathe. We're not doing that. And I think there's moments throughout the game where we're making stops early in the game. We're doing those types of things, and then we allow little busts here and there that allow them to have life, allow them to bring their energy back and get back on a roll, a script, whatever you want to say.
Tied 17-17, rookie quarterback Josh Rosen for Arizona's got his back to the wall, and Dean Lowry with the big sack. And then Rosen is rolling out, and he almost threw a pick to Eddie Pleasant. Now, Eddie Pleasant is a safety for the Packers. He just got off the plane on Tuesday. That's because your safeties right now are Tremont Williams, Josh Jones. They trade away Clinton Dix. Kentrell Bryce is injured. Green is injured. Ibrahim Campbell, you know, he's still in the mix there. When they're in dime, they got to put in a guy who just arrived in Green Bay on Wednesday morning. He drops the ball, and then Rosen comes up with this ball to 35-year-old Larry Fitzgerald in the slop, in the cold. Larry is a great guy. He was calling me by name, and he was talking about, I was talking about this weather. He says, do you live in this weather, Mike? Here's Larry.
Mike, you live here?
Yeah. You don't miss Minnesota.
Not one bit.
Not one bit.
I'm there in the summertime when it's nice. Get on the lake and go
well played.
Ride the wave runners and pull my kids on the inner tubes. But this right here, you can have that. It was all seams and they were playing quarter. So I ran my seam route and I looked back and I saw Josh getting flushed out to the right, and we just went to the scramble drill mode. And you know, we work on those plays all the time. First guy on the right side supposed to come back to the ball, and I saw an opening. I just broke, and he threw it out there, and we were able to make a connection, and it was great to be able to, you know, maintain that.
There's Cardinals receiver Larry Fitzgerald, and that is Mike Clemens. You'll hear him throughout the week on the Bill Michaels Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Our embedded Green Bay football reporter joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mikey, thanks for your time as always, my friend. And real quick, before we get out of here, it's time for Forward Thinking from Forward Financial Partners, brought to you by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together, learn more at FFPWI.com. Eric, Gary, we have about a minute left. What do you expect when they take on the Atlanta Falcons next Sunday?
It's hard to say at this point. I think a lot of it's going to happen or will determine what happens Monday, Tuesday. But I would assume that they're going to line up and play football and look lackluster and probably maybe win a ball game or lose. But if they win, it's going to be a close game. If they lose, it could, you know, Gary, could it be a blowout?
Depends on what team you get from Atlanta.
Okay. Eric, thanks.
If Atlanta comes in and play, it's over.
Thanks for sitting in on the show. Gary, it was a pleasure sitting in on the show with you. My thanks to everybody who listened. Mike Clemens for joining us. Thanks to the Hinterland in Green Bay for hosting the guys up there. Packers fall to the Cardinals 20-17. More on it throughout the week on the Bill Michaels Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. This has been the Palermo Screaming Sicilian Frozen Pizza Green and Gold postgame show. Thanks to Ryan and Adam behind the scenes. I'm Rami Maclaw for Eric, for Gary, saying thanks for listening. Stay tuned to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network throughout the week for more on your Green Bay Packers.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels